This is the Florida Spectacular Podcast with your hosts, Kathy Silustri and Rick Kilby. Keep up with Kathy at greatfloridaroadtrip.com and on Twitter and Instagram at Kathy Silustri. Find Rick on Twitter at OldFLA and visit his website, rickkilby.com. Now, discover a Florida you never knew existed.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, depending on where you are. And welcome back to this week's episode of the Florida Spectacular. I am your host, Kathy Silustri, along with Rick Kilby, who is the definitive guide on all things Central Florida. Is that too much of a label for you, Rick? Too much pressure?
Yeah, I have some holes in my knowledge, that's for sure. I'm not a big expert on the theme parks at all, but I know...
I'm not talking about the theme parks.
But I know a lot of the stuff. I've been here since 87 or 88, so I know some stuff, and I'm glad it's May because April was crazy. I had a lot of book things, and I'm ready to get going on this whole brand new month.
The month is almost gone in my mind, right? So I'm going to the Keys
for 2 weeks.
Yep. So I'm already working ahead so I can have some actual downtime. And I, you know, owning a weekly paper, we're already done with the May. So we're taping this podcast on May 3rd. Mm-hmm. We finished the May 4th edition of the paper yesterday. I'm working on May 11th and 18th now. So to me, it's practically June. I really ask anybody who works at a weekly paper, we never know what day it is. So it's always Thursday somewhere. But, you know, talking about Central Florida, it's kind of interesting because I like to say that our first stupid Florida criminal came to Central Florida, and it supports my theory. You know, there's another podcast out there. Our friend Craig Pittman has the Welcome to Florida podcast. And if you listen to Craig or you read Craig, you know that one of his things he likes to talk about, stupid Florida. And my answer to that, whenever Craig mentions it, is always, yeah, but they're not from here. Okay, nobody born in Florida is the one doing the stupid things. And the first Florida man came to Ocala, and it is proof positive that Florida man is not native. You know who it might be? Yeah.
The first Florida man came to Ocala. DeSoto? I don't know.
Nice try.
I think DeSoto may have gone there.
I think no one knows where DeSoto went, but they like to make it up. So have you ever heard of Ma Barker?
Oh, yeah. The Barker House in Ocklawaha. I think we talked about that once, actually.
We did. So, but it's an Ingus. We have, in case you missed it, or in case I don't remember talking about it, of course, real quick, the Ma Barker House is in Ocala on Lake Weir. I don't even know if I'm saying that right, W-E-I-R. Mm-hmm. And it was the Bradford home, and these criminals decided they were going to flee. You know, they were up north, as I would argue so many Florida men are, and they decide they're going to have a whole new life in South Florida. And of course, the problem is, you know, wherever you go, there you are. So they were in, I can't even remember where they were. All I know is they came here. So whatever state they were in, when they decided they're going to flee to Florida, Chicago, that's right. They were in Chicago. They're going to flee to Florida. But what they do is they leave a map on the table of their home in Chicago, where law enforcement is going to find them, which is why they're leaving. And they have Ocala basically circled in pencil on the map that they leave behind. So it takes absolutely no time for federal agents to make their way down, right? They get there, they find the Barkers, they arrest them, there's a shootout. The house, which I believe recently sold, was up for sale for a while, but it still had bullet holes in the wall because, of course, they're very historic bullet holes. And, you know, it's one of my favorite stories because it really drives home that it's not the locals doing crazy shit, right?
Well, and that house was moved, I believe, from its original location. I see that it's on Kearney Island Recreation Area, which is something I just heard about this week near Ocala on Lake Weir. And I'm kind of excited to explore that because Lake Weir is like the fifth biggest lake in Florida. And I've been to a restaurant on Lake Weir. It's huge. And this Kearney Island place looks pretty cool. There's a beach and boat ramps and all sorts of stuff like that. So I'm excited to explore that. I love it when I find a new place that I haven't been. I guess it was property that was originally owned by the Minute Maid Corporation.
Minute Maid. That's Coca-Cola now, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Well, so it'll be a fun place for you to go explore.
Yeah.
Ocala's interesting to me. Like, I love so much about Ocala, but it sometimes can be a little challenging because it's not, it's like there's two Ocalas, right? So if you drive through the very developed area of Ocala, it's going to look like any town USA, right? There's going to be Tire Kingdoms, KFCs, all that stuff. And that's kind of, I don't know, you know, you go to Ocala after you hear this podcast, you're like, why the hell did Kathy and Rick send me here? I can get KFC back in Tampa Bay. What's the big deal? But if you just go off the main roads, you're going to find a city that has not evolved. And I love it. Like, there's this one store, and I have to find the name of it, driving through. I think I was on 40 going from, I give a talk out in Ocala at a place called, I give many talks out in Ocala at a place called Master the Possibilities. So they're based out of the Top of the World Retirement Village there. And I was driving from there out to an event at Daytona State College, where I think you were, Rick. And I passed this shop that had 20-foot statues of purple rhinoceros and giraffes. And I mean, it was not something you expect to see in the middle of the woods. So you see that
that's
sort of
that's in Barberville. I know what you're talking about. It's Barberville Produce. It's so it's just as you get through the Ocala National Forest, you know, just beyond the right on the edge. And there's a Pioneer Village in Barberville too. It's really a cool place. And yeah, they have lots of interesting eye candy for sure.
No, it is, because it's like pine tree, oak tree, yeah. Pine tree, purple rhinoceros. It's just not.
Yeah, it's and a fun it drive, so actually.
Fast. Yeah, and it really is. It is. It's a great place to drive through. The other thing I like about Ocala is once you get off the beaten path, the availability of boiled peanuts. We talk about boiled peanuts.
I don't think we have.
Do you, are you pro boiled peanut or
yeah, I love
anti
them. Boiled? I love
them. I do too. My husband can't stand them. And I swear to God, every time I make him stop on some road trip and he watches me eat them, I'm worried he's going to leave me because they're not glamorous to eat, right? They're not.
No.
It's not like a, you know, a sexy woman eating a chocolate dipped strawberry. When you eat boiled peanuts, you are just all in.
Yeah, it's messy for sure. And then this, you got the shells, the wet, mushy shells. And yeah, what do you do with
them? So when I was younger, I would just spit them out the car window. But now I feel like that's really bad. Like, I don't know. So we end up with a styrofoam cup because boiled peanuts apparently only come in styrofoam cups. It's the law in Florida. And you have to dig through the shells to get to the rest of the boiled peanuts. And I invariably eat too many and make myself sick. And it's just a glorious, glorious thing to have happen.
So the other thing, one of the cool things about the Ocala National Forest is all the springs in there. And so it is a national forest. So they're a little bit more expensive to get into than some of the state parks because they have vendors, I think, who run them for the Park Service. But some of the best springs in Florida are there. There's Juniper, Alexander, Silver Glen, and Salt Springs are all the, those are the major springs in there. Then of course, if you do Juniper Run, there's all sorts of these peripheral springs, and there's this place called Fern Hammock that's full of these sand boils. And if you're into springs, you know, the Ocala National Forest is really a wonderful place to visit. And, you know, most of the springs are in North Florida. These are close to Central Florida, so you can get to them if you're down in the, you know, the further down the peninsula.
I mean, yeah, basically the nice thing, the nice thing about Ocala is that unless you are in Pensacola or Key West, it's pretty much a day's drive from anywhere and from a lot of the populated places in the state, like Tampa Bay, Orlando, Jacksonville. It's only a couple hours, if that.
Yeah, it's an hour for me. So that's what's awesome. If there's no traffic on the turnpike, I can get there pretty quickly.
Is there ever no traffic on the turnpike?
It wasn't too bad going up. I went up to Gainesville Thursday and came back Friday, and the traffic wasn't bad. I don't know. The stars must have aligned or something. And oh, I did a talk and I used your line about how Orlando is a half hour from Orlando. because I think that's perfect.
That is not my line. I heard it when I was in college in Orlando, and it was actually Orlando is an hour from Orlando.
Oh, that's better, actually. That's better.
It's more accurate. It's quite honestly. So, but it's nice. So the Ocala National Forest, if you are just looking to escape the Orlando, which I love Orlando, but it can feel like a lot if you drive through Orlando. Like,
yeah.
Anytime I drive in Orlando traffic, I leave and I get out the other side. And one, I'm happy to be alive. And two, I want to go live in the woods where there's no graded roads. Like that's my gut reaction. But I like Orlando. I really do. I just, and Ocala doesn't, and like, again, the main drags through Ocala don't feel that much better.
No.
They're getting very crowded, but you've got to get off the beaten path. And the National Forest is a fantastic way to do that. I mean, it really, really is. There's also a couple of state parks out there that are really great to spend some time in.
Silver Springs is near and dear to my heart because, you know, it goes back to the roadside attraction days. And before that, it was, you know, it could be arguably the first attraction in Florida because that's where all the Northerners would take the steamboats up the Ocklawaha River to see Silver Springs. And it was this glorious trip that everybody did. And there's all these wonderful images that I've used in my books of the big steamboats pulling into Silver Springs. But now it's a state park, so you can still do some of the classic tourist things like the glass bottom boats, and you can't swim there anymore. They may open it up to swimming in the future, but the best thing is now it's very accessible for kayakers and stand-up paddleboarders and canoeists, I guess I should say. And you can either go in from the paddlers, better description. You can either start from the state park, but there's a place called Ray's Wayside Park, which is where the Silver River and the Ocklawaha River come together, and you can paddle all the way up to Silver Springs and see the monkeys and do all that kind of stuff. That to me, it's one of the premier state parks in Florida, and it's very new state park. So they're still kind of working on a lot of the infrastructure there, I think, and it's getting better every single year as they invest more. They had a lot to do to take it from what was essentially an animal park. It was really like a zoo in its last incarnation. And they had to get rid of a lot of non-native animals and kind of reinvent as a state park. And I think they're doing a great job so far.
So Silver Springs is, I remember it as a kid because it was it's not really accurate to call it the theme park tour, but when I was a kid, when we moved to Florida, and I don't know if this still happens, I imagine it must, you get visited. Like,
yeah.
You don't have guests, you get visited. And it feels, I love my family, but I remember it felt like every time my dad had three brothers, and I felt like every time they came down, we did the circuit. And it was always because of where we lived: Weekiwachee Springs State Park, Homosassa, Walt Disney World, and Silver Springs. And somewhere, now that of course was the very early 80s, but somewhere along the way, it wasn't Silver Springs for a while. It was called something else, and then it switched back.
I think it was always called Silver Springs, but it was like Silver Springs Adventure Park or Silver, I mean, they had like a different thing, but I think it was always called Silver Springs. Or maybe they had it, maybe
it
they kind of downplayed
State Park, or is that something?
So before they owned the spring, the state owned the spring, they owned a parcel of property to the west, I believe, of the spring. And they started Silver River State Park. And that's where they had this wonderful museum. And they have kind of pioneer cabins out there. And they do cool things. Like they have nap-ins where you actually nap flint to make arrowheads. It's one of their big events. And they have, they do pit firing for ceramics and all those kind of pioneer activities. And it's a great museum with a ton of history and wonderful artifacts. And that was Silver River. So back in when I started working on my first book in the early 2000s, you couldn't put in at the spring to paddle. You had to go to Silver River State Park, which meant, you know, you had to walk from the museum about a quarter of a mile to get to the water. And then you got a canoe and you had to go upstream. And it was a lot more difficult than it is today. And that's kind of where they started. But they also, I think they built some cabins when they did that part. Have you camped there?
No, I have not. And now I feel like I've let you down. I wanted to say yes to that.
Well, I'm not a camper, but I know my brother's in-laws have camped there, and the nice thing is they're nice. And, you know, I love kind of the CCC cabins, but these are newer and very nice according to what they tell me, but I've not been there. And they have screen porches all around them. They look like a lot of fun actually. And they're very accessible, and you know, it's a big state park, and they want to protect the watershed there. So they keep adding little pieces of property here and there whenever they can. You know, we could talk about the water quality of the spring another time, but it's a very, very important piece of property. At one point, Silver Springs was the largest spring on the planet in terms of flow. It is multiple springs. That's one thing to note. It's, you know, there are 20 some springs that flow into the Silver River.
It's a group spring, then.
Yeah, yeah. The biggest one, I think, is called Mammoth Springs. That's the one that's right there in the basin where you turn the glass bottom boats turn around. But I love, they still have, the glass bottom boats are so worth it to me because it's like the Weeki-Wachee mermaids. It's this thing that's kind of timeless, that's a glimpse of the past that you know, that is rare in Florida because it changes so fast.
Well, the springs, I mean, I don't want to now, yeah, I don't need to get political today, but the springs are getting hit on all sides.
Yeah.
With some deregulation that's definitely hurting them. And so it's nice to see it while you still can, because I don't know what's going to happen. And Silver Springs, as the development goes around, the area, you know, it definitely is going to change the spring. And it's nice to be able to have those glass bottom boats because, you know, unless you're a paddler, you don't really see the springs. You can walk into the water and be shocked at how cold it is. Most people are like, holy God, this is not Florida. This is 60 degrees or whatever it happens to be at the time. And you can do that. Or you can watch from an observation deck. But a lot of people, and I forget this, and I shouldn't, a lot of people just are not the type of person to jump on a paddleboard or jump into a canoe or a kayak. And so this is a really great way to see not just what's under your feet on the springs, not what's under your boat, but it's also a great way to see what's around you on the springs. I mean, the glass bottom boats, I think, are really incredible. I don't know how many times I can say that, but I agree with you. It's just beautiful.
Yeah, I think you can't call yourself a Floridian unless you've done the glass bottom boat trip. But you know what you're saying about visitors coming from out of town, that was our experience because I grew up in Gainesville and we took them to Ocala and went to Silver Springs, or my personal favorite that used to be a theme park, a Six Gun Territory, which no longer exists. There is vestiges of that park. The train still runs. I think it's at a farm called Kirby Farm, if I'm not correct. It's somewhere in Newberry. And they have kind of reunions where they do gunfights and do all that stuff they used to do at Six Gun. I loved, honestly, when I was a kid, I'd take Six Gun over Silver Springs anytime because they had a great arcade. Before arcades became the thing, they had a great arcade there. And it was just, you know, I talked about this. I did a talk on Thursday about how when we were kids, we loved to play cowboys and Indians, and we were completely unaware that we lived near a settlement called Hogtown, where there was an actual fort in the Second Seminole War called Fort Hogtown, and that there were real battles between settlers and Seminoles, and people died. And, you know, here we are playing, you know, Cowboys and Indians, like we're out in the Old West, and literally probably a mile and a half from our house, you know, there had been very real violence. And that's kind of the interesting thing about growing up the time period where we did in the, you know, the mid 20th century, how that Cowboys and Indians stuff was so glorified, but the real, you know, violence between the indigenous people and the people who tried to settle this state from of European descent existed right where we lived. And we just didn't know about it at the time.
It's yeah. I mean, that's one of the things we do that unfortunately undersells Florida. Not that it's a good thing, not that it's a great part of our history, but we think of that sort of frontier and the really not great things we did to quote unquote secure it as only being out in the West. And yeah, the reality yeah. is, you know, the most costly war the United States government ever waged against any American Indian took place in Florida. And it wasn't even the whole war. It was just the second phase of the Seminole War. And that's, I think, part of what you're talking about, like where you grew up. Like that history is still very real and out there. And
it's, you know, Ocala is a great example because they have a replica of a Seminole War era fort. I think it's called Fort King. And, you know, all those things you would think about, you know, with the Wild West, you know, you think about steamboats on the Mississippi, you think about stagecoach, you know, that's how people got around before the railroads, is the stagecoaches through town. So there was a stagecoach that went from Ocala to Tampa. You know, horses, of course, you know, it's the middle of horse country. And railroads were a big part of the history in Ocala. And so all that stuff kind of exists today. If you look into the history of Ocala, that Wild West history, it's kind of,
it's all, I mean, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you.
No, I didn't know where I was going anyways.
You're not supposed to admit that on the podcast, Rick. Say that after. Talk about this area of Ocala, and it has such a rich history that it's really nice to see that there are still ways to access that. And the Six Gun territory I never visited. I know they have the reunion weekend. I know that it's in November of this year. We'll put a link to that in the show notes. And I know there are still forts out there you can go to. Silver Springs State Park. I'm trying to think. There's so much, just that whole center of the state. And I feel like we're talking about Ocala. There's another area that I've been through that's very close to Ocala, I think. Have you ever been to Umatilla?
Where is that in Lake County? That's in Lake County, right?
Yeah. I mean, that can't be that far. It's on 19, Florida 19.
That's in Lake County. I have, you know, all those Eustis and Umatilla and Mount Dora are all those towns are pretty close. There's a chain of lakes that goes through there. That, you know, the Harris chain is in, kind of runs into the lakes that are all connected by canals up there around Mount Dora, and they're all connected and they're all polluted. But so back in the day, you could take a steamboat, you know, from Palatka and then take it up the Ocala, the Ocklawaha River to Silver Springs, but you could keep going on the Ocklawaha and get to, you know, Leesburg essentially, because there was no dam and, you know, the water was all navigable. So you could potentially get from Ocala to Mount Dora on steamboat because there was canals connecting all those lakes.
Is that, I can't remember, and you shouldn't say you didn't know where you were going with your train of thought, and I shouldn't admit I can't remember. So we're just winning at this podcasting today. But I cannot remember, in Harriet Beecher Stowe's Palmetto Leaves, they were on a riverboat. Was that going on the Ocklawaha? Do you happen to know?
Well, so I do know, because she's kin to me. And I'm so proud of that. Think I'll say it every podcast. Yeah, I'm kin to Harriet Beecher Stowe. My grandmother is actually named Harriet in her honor.
How do I not know this about you?
Yeah, the little lady that started the Great War. So I'm always excited about that.
Well, we should have done the podcast about that. Holy hell.
Future podcast. But she went all the way. She went down to Enterprise. which is the north side, is across from Sanford, and that's Volusia County. But she also did the Ocklawaha up to Silver Spring. She was initially afraid to do it because she said famously that the little steamboats that used to run up there looked like coffins, and she was afraid to go because initially they weren't very glamorous. Eventually, you know, as it became more popular, they had bigger and larger and more beautiful steamboats, but the initial ones were just crappy little things, so she didn't want to go. I think it was either her or Sidney Lanier took one called the Gopher. I think it was Sidney Lanier, and she wrote about it and she said how beautiful it was. And you know, that was the big thing to do. I do think we should do a show about the Ocklawaha River because I think it's
absolutely
spectacular and, you know, in need of love.
No, I mean, I think we should do a whole thing about how to interact with it because I was, and well, we can save this for the next podcast, but I was camping along an area that was slated to be part of the Cross Florida Barge Canal. And the park rangers showed me that if you looked visually where you could see one of the borrow pits where they had just gouged the land. And I mean, it's again, this really fascinating, almost macabre part of our history that you can touch, you can walk through. And it's not just enjoyable because it's history. It's, you know, there's animals and wildlife and it's just neat. So we should definitely do that.
And there are, in Ocala, there are parts of that, you know, that there's this big bridge as you, if you go towards the Ocala National Forest on 40, you go on this huge bridge and it's, you know, you're above the treetops and you have to wonder why this enormous bridge is here, because there were going to be barges going underneath you all the way across the state of Florida. You know, the canal didn't get built, but the bridge is still there. And then south of Ocala, there's a town called Santos, and there's in the middle of the woods is this big, it kind of looks like a couple Stonehenge columns, or you know, whatever they call those big rock monuments. And again, it was a piece of this enormous bridge that is going to be built. The bridge never got built in that case, but this huge column was left behind. In the, you know, 441 goes south and then it splits, and there's this little patch of woods, and that's where it is. And it's near this trailhead, which is this great mountain bike and regular bike trailhead. It's, I think it's called the Bellevue Santos Trail, and that's right there south of Ocala. And that's a kind of another cool remnant of the Cross Florida Barge Canal.
We should definitely do a whole thing on Ocklawaha, because now I want to go out camping near there again. It's
that sounds really cool where you camp, that near the, you know, there's so much. You know, I love kind of roadside archaeology where you find things that are the not so distant past. And, you know, Ocala is a great place because you had these, you know, roadside corridors of mom and pop motels and diners and stuff. And you used to be able to find a lot more of them, but there are still a few in existence. They're destroying them very, very, very quickly, I'm afraid. But, you know, the Dixie Highway, which was the main north-south corridor, which was kind of cobbled together on different roads after 1915, used to go right through Ocala, and the Orange Blossom Trail used to go right through Ocala on 441. So you can have fun looking for that stuff. And my favorite, there's two of my favorite roadside things there. The Sun Plaza Motel, which is this incredible vintage place right by Silver Springs where you can still stay. They used to have shuffleboard courts, they got rid of them. Sadly, but it's a classic Florida roadside motel, which you don't find that often anymore. And then in terms of neon, there's the Marion Theater right there in Ocala's little downtown, which is where the Elvis movie that they filmed here, Follow That Dream, premiered in 1962.
Oh, I love that movie.
Yeah, it premiered right there. And it's so cool. I don't think I'm not sure if Elvis was there, but that's where it premiered. And it's still there and it's in great shape. And it's kind of the anchor of their cute little downtown.
I love that movie. I'm sorry. And now you got me on a whole other thing. So everybody listening, if you have not seen Follow That Dream, go find a copy of Elvis's Follow That Dream, because it's in 1962. I think in 1962. Yeah, it's early 60s. And Elvis was a very young kid. And it is about the Florida dream, but it's just so... unintentionally Florida. Like, so when I was in college, There was a town, and I mean no disrespect to it today, but when I was in college, there was a town in Central Florida called Biflow. And we used to joke that the only people who lived in Biflow were people who were trying to get to Miami and their car broke down and they didn't have any money to go any farther. And so they decided to stay in Biflow. Biflow in the early 90s, very different, I'm sure, today. But you watch Follow That Dream, and that's exactly what happens to who Elvis is traveling with. But my favorite part of that movie is where Elvis is fishing in like a, it's really just, you know, you look at it as a Floridian, you're like, oh, he's fishing in like a roadside drainage pond. Like, this is, you know, gotta be. And he's got a cane pole, no reel. And he pulls this massive tarpon out with just the pole. And I'm like, oh, buddy. Oh, honey, no, that's not how it works. That is just not how Florida works. But it's gold. It's absolutely gold. And I mean, it's, it is, and oddly enough, Follow That Dream was not written about Florida. It was a short story about, do you know what state?
No.
Take a guess.
Oh, California.
That's a good guess, but no, New Jersey.
That's funny.
So yes, it is. Everything about this movie is unintentionally, quintessentially Florida. So you have to go watch it right now. Finish listening to the podcast. Go find a copy of Follow That Dream. You may have to go to your library because I don't know where you can stream it. But if we find a place, we'll put it in the notes because it's completely worth it.
Anyway. Yeah, and the downtown is interesting because I was there Friday, and it is interesting. It's kind of in a state of flux, and but there is more going on there because I just think what's happening is the Villages is just growing and growing and growing, which is very close to Ocala, and those people want things to do, and they have money to spend, so they need to shop, and they need to go eat. So there's new restaurants that weren't there last time I went to Ocala, and there's new little shops with lots of stuff for disposable income. The only money I spent was at Grandpa Joe's candy store, which was, if you want to talk about kitsch, we had that on our last episode. There is so much kitschy stuff in there. That Archie McPhee stuff, I don't know if you're familiar with Archie McPhee. They have crazy plasticky things like those giant horse heads that you put on. And I bought a bunch of goofy finger puppets for when my niece comes over, like a raccoon and a possum and things like that. And they have every candy imaginable. You know, they have, you know, Bob Ross energy drink, like crazy stuff like that. So it was very fun. And, you know, the downtown has a pulse, and it's growing. You know, there's still some kind of dead areas. Oh, I got to put in a plug for my favorite restaurant. This is a restaurant that we make, you know, we go to from Orlando to meet my mom sometimes. It's a French restaurant called La Cuisine. And it has been there a number of years, which, you know, everything else down there has changed a couple of times, but it's hanging on, and it's very nice and upscale and, as I recall, not super expensive, but the food was out of this world.
Well, the next time I am over in Master the Possibilities giving a talk, I will look for La Cuisine because, you know, I usually build two talks because it is a bit of a drive for me. So I'll do one in the morning and one in the afternoon. And I usually find myself with about an hour or so for lunch, and they have a nice little cafeteria there, but I'd like to see a little bit more of what's around. Now, I do have a restaurant I want to recommend, but it is a little farther afield. It is in Umatilla. And it is called Old Crow Barbecue. And it is a locals place. And it is so not citified. I love it. Like, if you go to their Facebook page, they have pictures of people walking their pigs around. And not like in, not walking their pigs. I'm sorry. There are pictures of pigs walking around the building. And not like in the cute urban way where I'm going to get a little pot-bellied pig. No, these are pigs. Now, barbecue is what they do. So I don't know what exactly happens to those pigs, and I'm not real concerned about it. But I will tell you, it has some straight-up good barbecue. And we do need to do probably a podcast on what the difference is between a cookout and barbecue. Because that came up this week with somebody who is not from Florida, where I'm like, oh, no, you can't call that barbecue. When I say barbecue, when we say barbecue in the South, and this does include Florida, it involves sauces and meats. It does not mean you put some hot dogs on a grill. Like, that is absolutely not what happened.
Yeah, it's a cookout.
That is a cookout, right. So, but they have something there called the Sloppy Crow, which is not made with actual crow. Okay. It's pork with a sweet sauce. But they do have just some wonderful barbecue. Nothing for you, Rick. They do have some salads.
I go to barbecue restaurants just for the sides. Sometimes they have fried okra. There's one here, Cecil's, that has jalapeno mashed potatoes, and usually they have mac and cheese, and sometimes they actually have baked beans without meat. So I love this. And cornbread. Gosh, I love cornbread.
Cornbread is proof of a higher power, as far as I'm concerned. I have to make gluten-free cornbread. Real cornbread is gluten-free, and I'm sorry it does not have sugar in it. That is my hill. I will die on it. But my cornbread, unfortunately for you, is made with quite a bit of fat back. So,
interesting.
It's a Garden and Gun magazine recipe that's really good. But this place, they have baked potatoes. They have, the sides. Yeah, they got mac and cheese. They've got applesauce, collards. I'm pretty sure you won't eat. But it's a They actually do have a vegetarian plate, which is just three sides with bread. So there you go.
That sounds awesome. There are some good barbecue places up in Ocala too.
I just don't know any, but.
Yeah. Along 40, I think there's a Sonny's, which, was a chain that started in Gainesville. So for a while there, it was like one of the older Sonny's.
Sonny's,
I think there's
started
one called,
in Gainesville?
I think so. Sonny Joe Tillman, I think, was in Gainesville. That's what we always said.
That changes my whole attitude about it. Because I'm like, I'm not going to eat there. It's a chain restaurant. But I guess in my mind, if it's a chain restaurant that started in Florida, it's a Florida restaurant. So it's okay that it's a chain.
Yep, 1968.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, Sonny Tillman, really? 1968. Yeah, it was on Waldo Road. I don't know if it's still a Sonny's or not. It's a good question. But I think there's one called Old Boys on Ocala. So Silver Springs Boulevard is 40. It's the main east-west road. Oh, there's another one there. I think it's called Lolita's. I forgot about that. It's in a strip mall, and it has this how they would take the bottles of Chianti, with wicker on them and put a candle in it, and that would be the thing that you would find. So they have a neon sign of that right by the road. And so it's in this little strip mall. It's an old school Italian restaurant. So you're talking the red and white checkered, plastic tablecloths.
Absolutely.
The plastic grapes hanging from the ceiling. It is so old school. And it's like another place that time forgot. And it hasn't changed from probably the 60s. I love that place.
Well, you're
50 years old.
You're going to give us a show notes, some links for that.
Yeah, I will. Another place that I've met my family at, because I love that place so much.
Sonny's, by the way, did not start in Ocala. It actually started in your neck of the woods in Gainesville.
Yeah. It started in
I guess Waldo would be Gainesville, right? Yeah.
Yeah, Waldo Road is, it's right by, it's actually right by our publisher, the original
University Press of Florida.
Yeah. So it's Lorito, not Lolita. Lorito's Italian Kitchen. It's so awesome and old school. So one more thing I got to recommend, if people want culture, there is a fine museum, the Appleton Museum there. I went on my birthday in December and was blown away by the quality of the exhibits. And I don't think it costs that much to go in. It's a good thing to do on an afternoon, and you wouldn't expect such a great museum because it's really not that far. It's kind of between the city and Silver Springs. It's worth dropping in and cruising around, and they had some Christmas stuff still up when we were there, but I was pleasantly surprised at how good the exhibits were there.
Well, definitely I'll have to visit that. Now I thought I had a pretty good beat on some things in Ocala, but now I gotta go. I gotta get off the podcast so we can go right now.
The Florida Trust for Historic Preservation is actually doing their annual conference in Ocala this summer. So they will have tours, and, you know, somebody talked to me last year because I spoke at their conference, which was in DeLand last summer, about them doing roadside tours to look at some of the, you know, that vestiges of the roadside era. I'm hoping they did it because they never got in touch with me, but they're, you know, it's a great way to see some of the historic structures. I know they have a historic area of older homes in Ocala as well, and I'm sure they'll tour those, some of those. But again, the Florida Trust for Historic Preservation is a great organization to support. They are out there on the front lines trying to save as much old Florida as they can. And so that's, it's just a coincidence that it happens to be in Ocala this summer. I think it's next month, actually.
Are you speaking at it?
I'm not speaking this year. I did a talk about... I hadn't really thought about it. I, you know, I need to dig in and look and see if some of the tours are worth seeing, because, you know, I love historical tours where you learn stuff and see new buildings and see things you couldn't find out on your own. And so I might. The bad thing is, like, I remember last year in DeLand, it was hot, so hot. I don't know why they do their conference in summer, probably because maybe they're trying to get academics there who aren't working in the summer. I don't know.
I mean, maybe it's just to weed out the non-Floridians. Like, if you can't handle the land in the summer, you don't deserve to be at our conference.
I don't know. I went to it, and it was in St. Pete a few years ago, and I went to it there, and they had great tours on those little rental bikes that went through some of the cool neighborhoods I hadn't been to in St. Pete. So it's July 19th through 22nd. So I can guarantee it will be hot, and I can guarantee it will probably rain.
Well, I mean, that's the nice thing about Florida is it's going to be hot, but it's going to rain.
Yeah. And they've joined together with Preservation on Main Street. I guess that's the name of their conference, which is, so they joined together with the Florida Main Street program. So they kind of have a dual conference.
Well, definitely, so let's get the link for that in there, because these scraps of Florida are disappearing a lot more quickly than I think people would like to admit.
So here's some of the programs. There's one called Recollecting Memories, Florida's Last Fish Camp. I'm all over that. Opa-locka, Beauty and Building, Permanence in Place. So these are some of the talks, I think. Opa-locka was built by Glenn Curtis, and it has really unique architecture, and it's very much the battle for Micanopy. That sounds interesting. Celebrating the Chitlin Circuit. That sounds interesting. Florida's Rosenwald Schools. I may go just for some of these programs, actually.
Okay, well, get us the link.
Okay.
Let's go. I don't think I'm going anywhere other than the 4th of July. Maybe we can do a preservation podcast.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, this month is Preservation Month. May is Preservation Month. So we should do something about, we did some of our favorite historic sites. We could think about a different angle for that. So,
yeah, there's a lot of things. You know, it's on all fronts with preservation, right? So,
yeah.
Not just buildings, but lands. And anyway. I think what we were trying to say is thank you for coming to our podcast today.
Yeah, we were horsing around a bit. Get it, Ocala, horsing around.
I see what you did there. Well, it's been quite a ride then. With that in mind, go out, explore Florida on your own. Send us your questions, Kathy@floridaspectacular.com. Reach out to us. We'll be happy to talk about whatever you want us to talk about in Florida. We're kind of whorish like that. So just, all right. Well, Rick, I will see you next week. Same bat time, same bat channel. And look forward to chatting up some guests here in the future too.
Yeah. You guys have a spectacular week.
I'll see you next time on the Florida Spectacular. Thanks for listening. Bye.
Bye.